first order of business is to try to find a time, which is preferred to be all the individuals who come in to learn Sechta Nida, or Hilchos Nida, what we call the Sof Zman. For the moment, we started at 12 o'clock. Tomorrow, can we start at 12 o'clock again? Is it a good time for everybody? Yes? Let's start one day at a time. Say a Wednesday, I perhaps start a little bit earlier because I have practice somewhere a little at 1 o'clock, so we'll worry about that later. Also, how long do you want the shiur to go? I can go, and I know how long I want it to go to be able to try to finish on time, but I like to overstay my welcome. Anyone? What are you used to? Very different amounts of time. You know, in our yeshiva, some shiur of a half an hour, some shiur of 2 hours, you know, I'm aware of that. So in between, huh? In between a half an hour and 2 hours. That's a given. Alright? An hour to an hour and a quarter, so you're used to?
How much time do you finish?
I won't finish at that rate, but it's up. Oh, the next question is, how many days a week are we taking shiur? That's another important question. Estimates could range from 4 to 6. You know, it's Monday through Thursday is klar. That's the taking shiur, but Sunday and Friday are always this time of the year question marks. So again, you know what? I have an interesting idea. Take a piece of paper, pass it around, or just put your name down if you have any, maybe put a cell phone in case you have to change the shiur, someone will just be able, you know, things happen. And then you write, put your vote down how many days a week you want. I guess, you know, I mean, put down Sunday or Friday, whatever, yes or no, and then put down how long you want the shiur to be, and then after I get a consensus, so, okay. Let's start. Will I be taking shiur? Till the end of June.
So
I mean,
how long will
it be? I want to hear from you first. Don't worry about it. There's no kfiyat datit over here. This is no one has to come to this shiur. There's no mandatory attendance. No one, if I don't want to come tomorrow, I won't take any offense. He's trying to learn some things together. And I want to welcome Shaliba Pshalas Hadid Mechafetz. That's the whole essence behind this. I asked everyone to come with two svarim. I don't have to get around. One is the Masech Neza, and one is the Shulchan Aruch. I brought me from home. This is my Shulchan Aruch, which is, I think, the state of the art. Is that correct? Is that correct? That this is the state of the art Shulchan Aruch? Ma'aduat Friedman. Am I right? I mean, there's something better than this, even. Not that I know about.
There's another one in that printing that has fewer
buttons. No, but I'm saying, but this is the one.
Tour
of Shulchan Aruch? But how come mine's so fat and only has Shulchan Aruch and yours so skinny as both?
There's only the first volume.
Only one volume. I have that in my house too. Two volumes, two of Shulchan Aruch. But I think the truth is, good, I'm going to let you have it. You have both volumes, I guess, if you need. Because we will be seeing the tour from here and there. But it'll be greater focus on the Shulchan Aruch. Now, there was some marmakomas online.
Yeah,
they're not on why you start. Okay. Not too many things of mine are on why you start, but this is one of them. Those marmakomas, if I have the history of the marmakomas correct, they were compiled, or they were copied, I should say, typed up from my original handwritten marmakomas from Camp Morasha from 11 years ago. And I believe the one who gets the credit for that is a man named Rabbi Eitan Meir, who's presently living in the Holy Land. And I think he's the one who types up notes.
Yeah, on his faculty page, on Rabbi Eitan Meir's faculty page also, they have the marmakomos and notes.
Okay. I'm sure he did a good job. He's a very capable gentleman. And so feel free. Okay, so while this is going around, let's get started. As I mentioned to those who asked, we're going to start from the afternoon, Zion and Beis in the Gemara. We're not going to have a chance to go through the whole Masech Tanit in a short period of time, obviously. A few datum here and there as the background to the understanding of the Dinim and the Shulchan Aruch. It's impossible to have a profound understanding that you need to just to know how to pass and Shilas without seeing the Gemara. To get married and to go through life, Kedasa Kedin, you don't have to open the Gemara. I don't mean in Hilchas Tam Torah, someone in Hilchas, what the Rambam called Hilchas Yisur Abiyah, which is also a Sefer you should have around. And an Aruch HaShulchan is going to be happening. I have a Rajba here. I have some, you know, regular Svarim too, but I don't want anyone to start bringing around every Sefer. But if you're going to be Rabbanim, and a lot of people here I know are going to be Rabbanim, you have to have a more basic understanding just to know, what is it going to make horrific mistakes. As we go, I'll share one of my classics in how a person, you know, this says in the Ronim say that someone who passed from Shulchan Aruch is from the Mevale HaOlam, as they had to post the Halacha Mitoch Mishnah, so, because you don't know what the Gemara says, you don't understand it. It was once a case, a guy came to me here in this yeshiva, and it took me a while to figure out what the unbelievable mistake he was making, and his read of the Shulchan Aruch, if you only had Shulchan Aruch, was arguably correct. But it would have led to an Issachar's Mamash. You have to have a little bit of a background. So that's what I'm going to try to do, give everyone a little flavor, a little background. So I'm not going into the full depth of the sugya, obviously, just a little bit of background. So we're going to start now from the Zion of the Bays. Hope you all have a Gemara in front of you, or at least your friend has a Gemara, your neighbor has a Gemara. Here's another Gemara. Please. People have Gemaras on the computers, it's also good. They get the more Gemaras from the Bays. Menace you don't have. You know what, I'll bring some Gemaras from my shul tomorrow. Then I'll come tomorrow with some Gemaras, which will make it easier for you, okay? But Omar Shmuel, Nun Zayinam Advaith. Bodko karka olam v'yoshva oleo moto adam oleo tohoro shenema bivsara ache tagish bivsara. So the first halach that we're learning together is Shmuel Din. If a woman is sitting on the ground and she suddenly sees blood on the ground beneath her, she is tohoro. What's the basis for an apostle? Kzeres hakos v'bibsara, ache tagish v'bibsara. Now I get to another thing which is worthwhile having is a chumash. Right, that's one of those, you know. So in the chumash, the laws of Taras HaMashpach are found in Parshas Mitzorah initially, at some length, and then referred to very briefly twice in Achrimos and Kedosh. And Achrimos is the Azhara. We are warned and commanded not to be over Isanida, but Isha Benida Tumasa, Lo Sikrav Legala Servasa. Lo Sikrav is, of course, a very important word. Lo Sikrav implies that the Isha is not just an Isha Bia, but it may be an Isha Kirva, less than Isha Bia, and according to some, it's even an Isha Daraisa. And there's certainly the Rabbanas involved, that's what we call in our language Harchokas, which we'll get to, I guess, towards the end. And the punishment is found in Parshas Kedoshim. The Isha Shayishkev is Isha Dova. That refers to Nida. Where do you find the comparison of the word Nida to the word Dova? At the very beginning of Parshas Tazria, before it all starts, it says, talking about a Isha Yoledes. There it says, discuss, we'll have to discuss Yoledes a little bit later also. It says, V'tama Shiva Shavim Kimei Nidas Devosa Titma. Okay, how do you translate the words? What do the words mean? The Rashi is two pshatim. Devosa, lashon davar hazav migufa. Interesting translation. Something which flows from the body. Why is it such an interesting translation? So the Sifsei Chacham says, ki zav metargeminan dov. What's wrong with this picture, Rabbi? Huh? Exactly. One is with a vase and one is with a vav. You know, it's like, you know, in fifth grade, we don't know how to spell things. But okay, that's the first shot of Rashi. I'm sure it's a source. And the second shot, which is sounds more Karav Lapshat, Loshen Acher, Loshen Madve V'choli, She'ein Isha Roa Dam, Shalot Tchila, Shalot Techle, Rosha Ve'evareha Kvedim Oleha. She feels a little bit sick. Her head and her limbs. Kvedim Oleha, a little bit of a heavy feeling. And therefore, that's a simple pshat. In any event, so what it says over here in the end of Kedoshim, it says, Isha Dava, if you have to go back to Parshas Tazria to know that the Isha Dava is the Nida that's referred to there. By the comparison, that the Yoledes is like a Nida, who's called a Dava, and there's a Chi of Karet over here. As we mentioned before, the Azhara is found explicitly with the word Nida in Parshas Achrimos. So Isha ben Nidas Tumasa, the Sikkel of the Galat Ervas. Note the word Nidas Tumasa, referring to the word Tuma. Now the other Azharos and Onshim in Achrimos and Kadosh have nothing to do with Tuma. They are primarily ancestral relationships. There's also adultery found in the two lists. In the general Isuri Arayat. There are a few other interesting things over here, which we won't go into now. Let's just try to stick to our topic. But the primary analysis of these halachas is found in the end of Parshas Metzora. And there are two consecutive parshias. First is called what we call Parshas Nida, and the second is what we call Parshas Zav. And I'm using what we call colloquially based upon the Sugyos and Shas, because the very first word says V'isha Kisiya Zav. This is the Vayikra Perek Tezvav Pasuk Yud Tez, and that's in fact what the Targum is. It's a R-A-T-A Dova with a Dalet Vav. That's in the Lashon Nekeva. It was preceded by the Parsha of Zav that came a little bit earlier. Parsha Zav at the very beginning of Perek Tezvav and Sefer Vayikra, and there again Doiv, the same Shorosh. Fine. So this woman, V'isha Kisiya Zava, is what we call in our language Nida. But to be careful, there are Lashon Torah L'chod, Lashon Chachamim L'chod. Zava means, of course, we saw before in Rashi, that Zava means something that's flowing. Okay? What's the difference? Just some basics, very, very basics. We're not going to go into any detail at all now, but the Psukim go into the idea of Tumah. It's largely about Tumah. So we say, Isha Benita Tumasa, you should know the word Tumah is used by the Torah advisedly. There is a connection between the Tumah aspect of Nida, which no longer applies by Avon HaSein or Rabin, as a general principle. You don't have to base the Mikdash anymore. But of course, what's relevant to us is the Isa Levaila, which is described in Achimos and Kedosh. Fine. All it says over here in the Psukim is that Shiva Yamim Tia Benidasa, that the status of Nida lasts for 7 days. That's how the parasha begins. This is again Tezvav Yutes. A few psukim later in Chafei, the new parasha begins. Isha ki yozuv zov zov mayomim ramen below es nidasa. That's what we call in our language zava. What's the halacha in this kind of a case? So it says over there, im torah mizova, it stops bleeding. V'sofala shivas yomim v'yachat titar. Hence the famous shiva nekim, which only apply minatora in the case of a real zava. A zava, as we'll see later on, is a woman who sees dam, as the pasuk says over here, below es nidasa, not in a normal time which she's used to seeing. Therefore, just to make a long story very short, if a woman starts seeing dam on Rosh Chodesh, that's, let's say she sees someone of a cyclical pattern, so whatever she sees past day 7, most women stop bleeding in a week or less. What she sees from that, from day 8 until day 18, is considered below es nidasa. Once she sees from day 19 and on, oh, that's the next part, it's the next cycle. We talk about the monthly cycle. But as those who are married know already, those who will get married will find out, don't expect a computer to be your roommate. It'll be a woman. And she doesn't go, she's not a computer who goes every 30 days. It doesn't work that way. So there is a range. The range is anything from 19 days till whatever happens to be, that's considered the next cycle coming upon her. But if she sees 3 days between day 8 and day 18, whether they be right afterwards, what's called over here, Kisos of Al-Nidasa, day 8, 9, and 10, or whether they be anywhere, 14, 15, 16, any 3 days milo, she's considered to be a Zava, what we call a Zava Gedola in our language, which requires Shiva Nekim. What's not clear in the Pesukim is what if she's only 1 or 2 days within those 11 days? Here's Giyazov Zov Doma Yomim Rabin. That's the expression of the Torah. Yomim Ram Pasuk Kafei Yomim Rabin. Rashi says Shlosha Yomim. So what happens if less? So we're not going into that now. It's called the Zov Ktana or Shomeres Yom Keneged Yom. And she just waits, gets clean that day. The next morning she goes to the mikveh by Midin Torah. That's just a little background. I assume everybody here knows most of this, but you'd be surprised. People don't always know all these things. So just the very basics. So now let's go back to our discussion. So this word bibsara, that we got started, bisha kisiya zava dam yezova bibsara, that's the word that we started with. And the Chazal dashin bibsara, acha targish bibsara. She has to literally feel in her bsara, in her flesh, in her body. It has to be a feeling. If there's no feeling, if there's no sensation, then by Torah law, she's muteres. When we use the word tahora, we mean only not tahora, also means muteres. And tamea means asura. Those are going to be synonymous throughout our discussions. Fine. It's interesting to note that at this point in time, when Shmuel made a statement, both kakak all of the yosh v'leh matzadam oleh tahora, shenem adab b'vsara shetagash b'vsara. That's where he stopped. Shmuel didn't say another word. Tahora. Therefore, the simple pshat in the Gemara at this point is that Shmuel, when he said tahora, meant tahora mamish. Tahora mamish. Till the very last line of the Amud, the whole Amud ahead of us. The last line. The Gemara summer of Yirmiyah b'difti mo de Shmuel shitmeya medirabana. That's the first one on the next Amud. Nun chesanah medirabana. Till this point we assumed that she was tahora mamish, and the whole back and forth of the sugars is working with that assumption. But at the end of the day, Rav Yirmiyah b'difti says, no, she's tmeya medirabana. Why is she tmeya medirabana? The machlokas Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi says, bil ma'argash avalav adasa. Rashi created this idea that maybe a woman really had a hargasha, but she didn't realize that she had a hargasha. That's a very big chiddush. Could Rashi make it up on his own? No, of course not. It's a Gemara. The Gemara about the 8th and 9th wide line on the Zion of Advais has this concept in a somewhat different context. Gemara says, "Te'ema argasha v'lava data." Maybe she really had a hargasha and she didn't realize it. This possibility, according to Rashi, is the basis for Shmuel's ultimate position that ketem, as we call it, a stay with no hargasha, is a surah midirabonan dilma hargasha v'lava data. So according to Rashi, Dabba, that hargasha is really tar legamri. And the only reason why down below hargasha is in fact a problem is because dilma hargasha v'lava data. So says Rashi. Tosa disagrees. Pirusha kuntres the talinan dilma hargasha v'lava data ve nira da filu muksak lo shelo yergisha tmeya. Hoel v'roas dam nidus. Fine. So Tosis claims that it's a din midirabonan, that even if you know 100% sure there's no argosha, she's tmeya midirabonan anyway. Why? Hoel v'roas dam nidus. The dam came out of that part of the body. By the way, the only blood which counts halachically is what we call in our language uterine blood. I'm not giving you a lesson in anatomy. You have a doctor who can give you a better lesson than myself. You can consult him, please. He can bring you pictures, whatever you want. But you should know a little bit basic high school biology, that a woman has in her body an organ which is called the uterus. The uterus is the base of lad. If she has a pregnancy, the fetus forms in that uterus. The uterus has a lining which waxes and wanes in the years, and she starts beginning her period approximately 12 years old. So it goes back and forth in different societies. Now I think it's about 12 years old, as a matter of fact. And it goes till she has what we call in our language menopause, which menopause is on average the early 50s. And again, it could also range. Okay, fine. So therefore, a woman can go for a good 40 years having somewhat regular periods. And women are different. Some are fairly regular, and some are totally irregular. Okay, fine. In any event, the Tosfos is telling us she saw Adam Nidus, so therefore she's Asura B'Derabbanan, even though it's 100% sure there's no Argosha whatsoever. And that's how most of the posts can assume, like Tosfos against Rashi. Okay? Everyone with me so far? You know, you can feel free to raise your hand. It does not have to be a monologue. I'm happy to take anyone's questions. Yes, sir. Well, Tosfos is the word Adam Nidus. Tosfos is trying to say if she had a bloody nose, she wouldn't be a nida. And as we will get to Mitzvah later on, she has a dam maka in that part of the body, again, without going to all the biology, but the uterus, as I've always read it, is a pear-shaped organ. I don't want to look what a pear looks like, but it's a pear-shaped organ, which is somewhere in the area of the woman's body over here. And it opens up through what we call a cervical canal into what we'll call the vaginal canal. The vaginal canal is the place where the Eivar HaZachar goes b'shas tashmish, and that's how the woman becomes pregnant. from the Balas Mazria into the vaginal canal, the Zera miraculously swims up through the cervical canal, through the uterus, into fallopian tubes, and again, I'm not going to tell the whole how a woman becomes pregnant, and Kadosh Baruch Hu makes miracles upon miracles. If you think a baby's born without a billion miracles, you're completely wrong. It's beyond miraculous, but that's how Kadosh Baruch Hu made these miracles in our Teva. It's a marvel El Arayim. Okay, that's how it works. So Dam Nidus means that the Dam is seen. The assumption is it's a Hargasha. The Hargasha is usually associated, we'll discuss it in detail as we go, with the, we'll call it, this is convenient, the monthly cycle that has a whole series of sensations, and that's what's called the Dam Nida D'Oraisa. Now we're talking about a case where there's no Hargasha whatsoever, and it's called Dam Nidus because we're assuming it's coming from the same source. Of course, you can never be completely sure where it's coming from, because certainly in those days they couldn't look inside, and they would see the dam, the woman would see the dam literally coming out of her body. And coming out of her body, that's quite a far removed from where it originally is. So remember, it has to be what we call uterine blood. It has to go through the cervical canal, and then out through the vaginal canal. And even then, there's some layers till it actually gets out into the outside, and it'll fall on her underwear, for example. It's quite, what you'll see on the ground, it's a keset. But we assume it came from that part of the body, so we have the general assumption is it's dam nidus, as opposed to, for example, dam maka. If we knew for a fact it's a maka, we have reason to assume it's a maka, then dam maka is okay. That's even though it's coming from that part of the body, it is like a bloody nose. It's not like a finger's bleeding, it's not the uterine blood. And these shots come up quite frequently, and they're very difficult shots to answer. But to answer your original question, Dam Nidus, the assumption is that it's coming from that part of the body. Dam Nidus, presumably, Dam is comes min ha-mokar. But since there's no Hargosha whatsoever, the Chachamim answered it midrabbanan as a kesem. Huh? Good. Fine. So this is the beginning of the sugya. Okay, so min ha-Torah, again, we need Hargosha. And midrabbanan, according to most post-Nak Tosfos, she's a surah, even though we're absolutely certain there's no Hargosha. And we call this prohibition, we call it a kesem. We call it a kesem. Now, the title of this paragraph is a roa kesem. A woman who sees the kesem, she sees a stain. She can see it on her body, she can see it on clothing, she can see it on the floor. Well, these are various places where a kesem, in fact, can be seen. Okay. So we have a lot of things to discuss just in an introductory sense before we get down to some details. One is, let's start with this one because this we'll start with the Doraisa, which is the more conceptually proper way to start, which is this Din Doraisa that you require Hargosha. What is the nature of this Din? And specifically, what is the Hargosha that the Gemara is talking about? Now, of course, we have a very big handicap in this room. Baruch Hashem, everyone in the room is a male. And as such, no one has ever experienced the Hargosha of which the Torah is speaking and which the Gemara is speaking. Some of us are fortunate to be married. Well, everyone will one day be married, Baruch Hashem. So you can maybe ask a question of someone, what can you explain to me what is Hargosha? Okay, but as we know in the halakhic world, we're not limited by description of individuals. We need a halakhic construct and basis to know what exactly is Hargosha. So we're looking in the Gemara, you have no clue. No clue. Man or woman looking in the Gemara has no clue. What does it mean, Hargosha? What do the words mean? Right? Bibsara acha tagash bibsara. What do the words mean? So as always, we look to the Rishonim to try to give us the clues as to what the word Hargosha may possibly mean. So one is a Tosfos in Masechta Nida Daf Dalet Amud Aleph, Tosfos Vaha. The Tosfos in Vaha has a line. The Tosfos line is Shehamokom Sosum Ukshadam Yotze Niftach Vahoyo Lo Lahargish. It's something which is closed, and when the blood comes out, it opens. V'hoyal ala hargash. That should lead to hargash. On this basis, the Truma Sadeshin, one of the great poskim, and his words are also going to be very, very important as we go, came to an understanding that the definition of hargasha is what he called niftach pi hamokor. A woman feels the opening of the makar. The makar is another word for the uterus. It's called the rechem. It's called the cheder. It's called the kever. It's called, you know, we have a lot of names. We don't want to put a lot of names for some of these. You know, the handle has sort of one name, but this is more complex. A lot of different names. It's called niftach pi hamokor. This is considered to be, according to the Tosfos and Avdalah, and the Truma Sadeshin follows in that way, being one of the Chachmei Ashkenaz, following the Baal HaTosfos, that's considered the definition of Hargosha. Those who have a Shulchan Aruch, open up the very first line. The Shulchan Aruch's first line is, Isha Sheyotza Dam Mekora, Be'emelos Be'erotzon Tmeya, V'hu Shetagish B'Tziyotza. So he right away has the din of hargosha is found in the Shulchan Aruch immediately. It's a bit of a question why it's found. So we already pointed out earlier that a woman is asur even in the absence of hargosha with the rabbanim. And the Shulchan Aruch is not in the habit of saying din of daraisa. Shulchan Aruch is a how-to book. It's a practical guide. That's a problem which we'll come to discuss in a little while. But right away, the Pitzchei Tshuva and Os Aleph said there are three kinds of hargosha. And one of them is Niftach Mekora. And the source for this, he tells you to look later on in Shulchan Aruch, in Simen Kuf Peches, Sif Aleph. There we are taught, in Simen Kuf Peches, Sif Aleph, Vafilu Irgisha Sheniftach Mekora. You know, it's funny, you know, we learned lessons in passing. Vafilu Irgisha Sheniftach Mekora. From that line in passing, which we're not going to go into with context right now, we understand that the word Hargosha means Shaniftach Makora. Right? The source again is the Truma Sadeshan. Apparently Simon Reshman Vav. It looks on the side here in my this fancy Shulchan Aruch. Those who want to look it up. And again, the source for that Truma Sadeshan is the Tosfos on Daf Dalet Amud Aleph, which we saw. Okay? Niftach pi hamokor. This raises a double question. One is it scientifically correct? Is there in fact any kind of a psicha of the pi hamokor when a woman has a typical menstrual flow? We know the mokor opens up when a baby comes out. Oh yeah, that we know. But does the mokor open up in any significant way when a woman has a monthly period? Doctor, what do you say? I don't think so. My doctor said no. And number two, you know, with all respect to the Baal HaTosfos and the Truma Sadeshin and the Mechaber, did their respective rebbetzins have this sensation of Psichas Pi HaMokor? Did they feel the opening, however you want to define it? There are various, you know, fairly closed areas which might open up. Those who know some of the words that they use in the anatomy, they say the cervix, right? But there's a cervical os, O-S, that's the right word they use, os. There's an inner os and an outer os. Those are some of the openings. Yeah, but do women feel those things? Can they feel those things? Is there any sensation over there? Don't know. But okay, this is the classical description is psichas pi hamok. Fine. Niftach makor. However, before we even get to that, the Pitzchei Tshuva has a second, you know, we're going to call it second, he has the first, which is called Nizdaza Gufa. And the source for this is the Rambam. Now, the Rambam, you know, Dr. Rambam, he should know. Although, as we will see later, some of the biology that's found in the Gemara, and even in the Rambam, it just doesn't, I don't know. I'm wondering, did they have anatomy classes? Did they do dissections? I don't understand. If they didn't, then I understand if they did. Some of the things they describe is just that's not there. That's a perennial problem. He quotes Rabbi Nicholas, he says, Rebiya Perek, Hey, Din Yud Zion. That's the source of the Pesachei Tshuva for the Rambam's view on this matter. What's considered to be a Hargosha? Again, it's in passing. The Rambam says, it's kind of a woman who is urinating. It's a question, it's here and there. Afilu hirgish gufav in his da'za'ah. So presumably, again in passing, the presumption is that when we say hirgish gufav in his da'za'ah, this is exactly what means hargosha. Based on the sugya that we get that on Afnan Zayin Amid Beis, which discusses the possibility, and another sugya on Afnan Testament Beis, possibility of a woman in urination, whether we attribute it to this or to that. But that's again the in passing inference of the Rambam is that this daza'ah, trembling feeling, is in fact the definition of hargosh. Okay? Fine. Is there any medical evidence that a woman's body trembles in any way when she has her period? To my knowledge, no. And informal polls have yielded the results that the women don't feel any kind of trembling as the dam is coming out. As the dam is coming out. Now, again, I use the word as the dam is coming out because I read the Shulchan Aruch. For who should tarvish bitzi also? You have to feel it when it's coming out. Bitzi also. So it's a bit of a problem. BTSO, most women don't feel the feeling of nizdaza that is described in the Pesachei Tshuva based upon the Rambam. The third type of hargosha is a verity, it's a certainty, it's a reality. It's found only in Tshuva Sachronim, though. These the first two had sources in Tos and Tshuva Sadeshen and in the Rambam. Now it's only in Tshuva Sachronim. What's that? Kshemargeshet shedov olach zov mimena bifnim. When she feels something wet flowing from her bifnim, inside. What do I mean inside? What does the word inside mean? This led to another dispute. I'm just not going to read it at length, but the gives you some Arama Kovas to know the Yehuda, which you can look up, or the Chavas Das. Chavas Das is found in the back. Those who have this Shulchan Aruch have the Chavas Das. I think even the old Shulchan Aruch usually have the Chavas Das printed. And the source he gives you is the Chavas Das Simen Kuf Tzadi Sifkotan Aleph. That's where this Chavas Das is to be found. The Chavas Das really is the source of the halacha of this Pesachei Tshuva. And you have three different kinds of hargoshes. It's verbatim taken from Chavas Das. Das is shloshim mini hargoshim. So when the Pesachei Tshuva says it on his own, he's really quoting the Chavas Das verbatim from Simen Kuf Tzadi Sifkotan Aleph. Verbatim. Shlishit nimtza b'shut achronim shemageshet shedavaz lachzav mimena. But then he stopped quoting him, and this is the most important part of it. Omnam nira devina shetaga shezav mimikora. She has to feel it as it's coming out of the makor. The imloyer gisha shezav b'mekorah, rak shemargesha shezav b'prozdor. The word prozdor, you know, we're most familiar with the word prozdor. Haskin atzmachal b'prozdor eshetikonas atrakna. Everyone's going to pick her up now. So a prozdor is a room which leads into a more important room. So Chazal always talking lashon nakiya. So the vaginal canal is called the prozdor because it leads into the more important room, which is the makar, the cheder, the rechem, the womb. So let's say she feels the dam in the prozdor, and the chavas das is in this point, at least assuming that the prozdor is already considered beyond the line. It has to be a line. We'll get to it soon. There's a line at which, when the blood crosses that line, that's when she becomes Asura and Tumeya. That's the first Mishnah in the Sechta Nida, that Beza Manalip, that tells us that by the time the woman sees the blood on her garments, right, or on she's already been Tumeya for a while. There's a whole discussion there of what do you do with any Truma she may have touched in the interim. Maybe she was Tumeya X number of hours before she actually saw the blood herself. When it crossed the magic line. What's the magic line? What is the magic line? That's another major, major dispute. Somewhat is a magic line. Let's put that aside for the moment. Okay, anyway. But if she feels only in prosa, near the Tahora, he means Midaraisa. Kevin should be shosh and nafal mehamoko la prozor lo hirgisha. Rachmona tare la hadam shaba below hagosha. May ayin yaskla tuma be prozor. He's assuming that the line is somewhere between the time when the blood spills out from the mokor into the prozor. That's a little tricky. The mokor is the womb. The prozor is the vaginal area, and in between is the cervical canal. So there's that canal in there. Where is the line? Get the impression of Chavazdat that the line is somewhere in the cervical canal. Again, repeat. There's the inner area, which is the inner chamber, we'll call the mokor. There's the cervical canal. We use the word cervix. You've heard it many times. But the cervix is somewhat of a misnomer, because it's not just one line. It's a canal. Right? That's, you know what a canal looks like. So it opens up, and one is, you know, there's the larger area called the uterus. And there's this very thin canal called the cervix, which can be a number of inches, and it's going through a very narrow passageway. And it opens up into, again, a larger area called the vaginal canal, the vaginal area. So the Chavos Da'at seems to be working with an assumption that the critical line, is fairly high up between the mokor, which is the uterus, and the prozor, which is the vaginal area. And in between is the cervical canal, so it could be somewhere in the middle of that canal. That's where the magical line is. Many poskim say that way, as a matter of fact, because the Gemara has an expression earlier in Masechet Nida called the Bein HaShinayim. When the blood passes between the teeth, that's when the critical line has been passed. And the anatomy books demonstrate to us that somewhere in the vaginal canal there are certain protrusions, which these poskim presumably held. That's the Bein HaShinayim. Those are the Shinayim, those protrusions. Okay. Again, I refer to the doctor for any. If you want to see any pictures, there are many poskim though disagree significantly with this Chavos Da'at. They consider the line to be much further out. Most prominent among them in recent years is Rav Shlomo Zalman, Orbach Zecher Tzadik Livracha, and Mincha Shlomo Chelek Beis, the lengthy Kuntres on Nida, and one of his Anofim. There are four Anofim. One of the four parts devoted primarily to this subject. Where exactly is the line for purposes of his own desire to make some kind of a tube. Again, that's way beyond Ashiya today, but that's where you'll find a lengthy discussion of what the post can say about where this line happens to be. Okay, again, it's not our topic for Be'iyun right now. Okay, Rabbi, so the primary source again for the Zivas Davalach that we have is found in the Chavos Da'at, and he says it has to be experienced all the way up there to feel the flowing as it's crossing from the cervical canal into the vaginal canal. There's only one problem, Rabosa. Only one problem. That's impossible. It's impossible to feel what's going on over there. And they explained to me why. There are no nerve endings over there. I'm not an MD. But they said it can't be done. It's just a physical impossibility. So again, Rabbonim are Gvaldik, Meiridik, based on classical Talmudic sources. But in this year, at least, when they tried to see to it that the Metzius is also taken into account. This is not a theoretical class. No, this is practical. I think we should always learn in a practical way. If you're against the Metzius, that's called the Tovid Var Mishnah, it says in the Ilchus Sanhedrin. You have to know what the facts are. It's to the best of your ability. Okay, so the only way to really justify the possibility of Zivas Davalach is to disagree with the Chavos Da'at himself, who's the one who proposes it, and go back to even an earlier source who proposed it, namely the Noda B'Yehuda. The Noda B'Yehuda. And the Chavos Da'at correctly notes, Umashem Idvarov, Da'afilu Bar Geshes Hashadar Olaf Zav Prozdar, afilu lo hergisha b'shah shezav imakara gam ke mikri hagasha. That's correct. Says the Chavasas, v'hu tamua. So Rappele, how is it possible that the woman can be tomei d'oraisa when she experiences, she feels the flow in the prozor? Too late. The dam already crossed the magic line. Too late. Too tamua. So the only way to somehow justify the note of Yehuda is to assume that when it says in the Shulchan Aruch, "Who should targish be tiyoso," doesn't mean that the hargosh has to be at the precise second of the halachic yitzia, but rather if she felt it a little bit later, it came out of the from the mokra to the prozor undetected by her, unfelt by her. But X number of time units later, I don't know, we have to ask the doctor. How long does it take for blood to go from the cross, you know, I don't know, it could take 2 seconds, I don't know how long it takes. It could take 2 minutes, it could take 2 hours. I'm just throwing out possibilities. You go online and you can press a button right there and find out right now how long it takes for the dam to go from the moment it goes from the, drops out of the cervical canal, or what we call the Ben HaShinayim, until it actually can be felt by the woman. When can it be felt by the woman? Where there are nerve endings, where she can actually feel it in the prozor itself. Okay, so what will happen there, and this is said by the Maharam Shik, the Farish of the Tshuva. I think it would be worthwhile for someone tomorrow to bring in this Tshuva, or type it out for me, it's the Tshuva's Maharam Shik. We can read it together, have it written down, so what Tshuva it is. Where he says that even though at the moment that it passed the magic line there was no hargosha yet, if there will be hargosha shortly thereafter, that will qualify for nida d'oraisa. Doesn't have to be the exact same split second. I believe it is yoredeya simen kuf pei dalet. Well, he says when the dam goes out from the mokar, it's mitla toli v'koi, it's still in suspended animation, and if there will be a hargosha, it will be a nida d'oraisa, and if not. Okay? That's what he says. So that's an arguable position, and if that reality still exists. So if you assume the Noda B'Yehuda together with the Maram Shik against the Chavas Das, you can justify in practical terms this Hargosha of Ziva Savolach. Having said that, he quotes over here in Pesachot Shuvah, B'chassam Sofer, Cholak Al Zeh B'Kama Shuvahs, and he proves Ziva Savolach is not a Hargosha. He has four tshuvas. You can look it all up. Kuf mem hei, kuf nun gimel, kuf samach zayin, kuf ayin aleph. And so he passed the local of Maisa and his mekabel from Rav Nosson Adler that way. Boom. So therefore, Rabbi Osai, if you assume the chasam sofer, and really it does stand to reason, there's no source in Rishonim that Zivas Davalach is considered to be in the category of Hargosha. It's even problematic because the Chavas Das is seems to be incorrect in Metzius. And the Noda B'Yehuda is a very big chiddush with the Maram Shik that it can be in suspended animation. So the simplest suggestion would be that the Chassam Sofer. It doesn't count at all. All right, great. So now we have a problem. How does a woman have a gosha b'zman hazeh if there's no nifta feeling of psichas amoka, there's no nizdaz agufa, and ziva samalap doesn't count? So very nice. The Chavazaz gave us three possibilities, but the problem is none of them really work for us. That is the issue I want to discuss a little bit today. Are there any questions? Yes?
It seems from some return that even back then there were some nashim who didn't have hargosha, so presumably saying whatever didn't apply to them would apply nowadays.
You'll have to be more specific when you're describing Rishonim. You say Rishon?
In Tosfot Rush here, he says...
Tosfot Rush, what daf?
Daf Nuzayim
Ubet. Okay, let's take a look. We all have it on the system. For those who don't know, Tosfot is printed at the start of the Gemara. Thankfully. Yes, let's see.
So, halfway down the line,
yes.
It says, Afad Abdi Gamar, Yimro Yimeh Bargashim Chazai, Rov Nashim, Inan Rov, El Bargashim. Most Nashim don't see El Bargashim.
Very good. That's correct. That's absolutely correct. Tosa Rosh is an expression of Rov Nashim, Inan Rov, El Bargashim. That's the norm. Admitting of the possibility of a woman who's going to see Dam without Hargosha. That's absolutely correct. So the question, of course, will be, is this woman that's Shalom Bar Gosha, is that her monthly period? Or maybe it's just referring to a woman who's seeing haphazardly, randomly, over and above a regular period, and that's considered a Dan Bala Argosha. We can't guarantee that a typical healthy woman of the Rosh's time saw her, we'll call her period, using that expression, without Argosha. Can't prove that. Okay, but even if that would exist, it would be a minority, it could be a very small minority. Fine. This is the problem that we face. So, there are a number of different approaches to this problem. Again, assume the first three are, the first two are not, do not really exist, and the third one may not count halakhically. Part of it won't exist. Let's leave you in a quandary. Why are women nidos the oraisa mitmanenim? Now I'm working with an assumption that nidos in fact are mid oraisa mitmanenim, contrary to some inferences from various very recent works seem to admit of a possibility that perhaps there is no need of the rights of Bismarck. I'm telling you up front that that's not my opinion. I can't accept it. So I'm assuming there is some kind of a hargosh. So, there is an Aruch HaShulchan talks about it. I'm not going to read the entire Aruch HaShulchan. He starts in Awa Simon Kuf Pei Gimel. He starts in Sif Nun Zayin. Umahu Inyan Hargosha. What is a Hargosha? And it starts from Nun Zayin, and it goes really all the way. Almost till the end of the Simon. A long discussion. What's considered to be the Hargosha? And again, he quotes in Sif Nun Tes. Sif Nun Tes. For Yisri Misha Mefarash Kavanas HaRambam Shekivin Bar Gosha Zul Lamashakosu Veresh Perek Ches in Yisra Bia. The kodem sheyavo hadam targish beatma mifaheket umis ateshes. Before she's getting her period, she yawns, she sneezes, v'chule. Now, what's the v'chule? He says v'chule. So we know what the v'chule is without even looking. Women have all kinds of different symptoms which exist before the onset of the period. This is Perek Ches Halacha Beis. V'choshesh pikreisa v'shipule me'eha. She has a stomach ache. V'yistamer saras besaro yecham besaro. She may even have she feels like a little feverish. And as we saw earlier from Rashi in Chumash, ki may nidas devosa titma. A woman doesn't have this experience unless she has evarea kvedem le'a. And rosh of evarea, I think Rashi said, right? She got a headache. She have a backache. Many women have these symptoms. And there are some who associated these symptoms of the Rambam with what he called this daza, a trembling feeling. Says Aruch HaShulchan, v'lo nira li klal. Absolutely incorrect. Absolutely incorrect. And he has a reason. Perhaps we'll get to the reason a little bit later. However, it's hard to argue with Aruch HaShulchan, he has riots, but you do notice that the Rambam, who had an absolute command of the Hebrew language, chose the word targish over here. Hello, Dovaru. Right? Targish biatzma. This leads to a bit of an impression that perhaps the Rambam, held like the Misha Mefarish in the Aruch HaShulchan. And this is also an opinion which is found in the Maharam Shik, and the Tzemach Tzedek, and even some recent from that buy into this theory. The most one that I remember is a sefer which is almost contraband. It's called the Mishnah Brura HaKodesh, and for that reason it was put into semi-cherim in certain parts of the world. Those are called the Gufei Halachos, and to my knowledge it's still incomplete. Two volumes were put out, and the in-between volume I think it still hasn't been published. Very good sefer, by the way. banned the book, and it's the sales are very brisk. I have it in my house. it was written by a Rabbi Volhendler from Williamsburg. I sort of met him once, a very, very fine person. So he also seems to accept this theory that the typical sensation that the woman will experience in conjunction with the period, which is considered argosha. Now, most possibly that's incompletely incorrect. There's another word we have for that. There's another halachic term that's found in the Gemara at some length about these kinds of feelings. What is that? I don't know what that's called. Vestos haguf. We're not up to vestos, not by a long shot, but vestos are literally, a vest has nothing to do with the woman necessarily. Maybe they know the Gemara. Shinu vestos tchilas choli mayayin. If you eat too much, you get a stomach ache. It's not limited to women. The vest is a normal pattern. So women have sometimes calendaric patterns. They'll see every number of days or whatever. We'll get to those details hopefully towards the end. Or a vestos haguf. It's a certain body symptoms that uniformly precede the actual period. So some say the vest is aguf, that itself is argosha. But most possibly, no! They're two different concepts. The vest aguf is the vest aguf. It's just a predict of what's going to happen later on. And the argosha is bishas yitzias adam. Now these symptoms, generally speaking, precede the period. The Rambam himself said, kodem sheyavo adam targash biatma. So obviously, if all the Rambam is kodem sheyavo adam targash biatma, this cannot possibly fit with the Shulchan Aruch, who writes, for who should targish BTSO? Shulchan Aruch demands that you feel it as the blood is coming out. You want to hit me a little bit later, like the Imam Shik says, no. That can question to the words of the Shulchan Aruch. However, the Rambam's the idea of Vesas Aguf is simply against the Pashup Shat and the Mechava. Against? Okay. So it's against. It's against. The question is, what's discussed in the Rambam over here? Could it possibly be shot in the Rambam? Yes or no? So, maybe, there is a Ha'ora, and I'm not sure which Shulchan Aruch have what. Let's see. Imre Baruch. Is it printed in this one? Printed in some Shulchan Aruch. I don't see it on the page in front of me here. But the Imre Baruch already pointed out that there can be different expressions in the Shulchan Aruch and different expressions in the Rambam, and they don't necessarily go together. Let's see. I'm not sure if it's one of the Mefarshim, the old Mefarshim here. Maybe it's in the back somewhere. It's in the back? It's in the Yalkut? Forgive me, I'm not an expert in my own Shulchan Aruch here. One second, I'll stay around in a minute. Where would anyone know what the Imre Baruch is in this one? In this fancy one?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, okay. Where is that? Is it after Sidrei Tara? Yeah, after Sidrei Tara. Okay, let's take a look if we can find it. Hold on, give me a minute. I'm not going to spend more than 1 minute looking for it. Maybe you can think about it. The Imre Baruch is going to say that although the Lashon of the Mechaber, it's the first Imre Baruch and Siman Kuf Tzadi, just makes a comment without, you know, comment without saying pshat, that, you know, the Mechaber's Lashon in Siman Kuf Tzadi, Sif Aleph, is Asher Targish Sheyotz Adam, which is the same as the Kuf Pei Gimel, Shetargish Bitziyotz. Same thing. But he writes down Lashon Rambam in Perek Tes Halacha Aleph in Isurei Bia is Ad Shetargish Vitire Dam V'yeta Mibsar. This points out a distinction between Lashon Rambam and the Lashon of the Mechaber. So he doesn't say what it means. He just leaves it. The comment. But based on what we're saying now, it's very possible, it's a very telling comment, that perhaps the Rambam, in fact, may agree with these anonymous Mishnah Mefarish, who are saying Pshat and the Rambam, maybe he's right after all. True, it's not at the same time as the Dhamma is coming out, but the Rambam changed the expression. He wrote, Ad Shetargish, okay, and then, V'tira Dham V'yetim B'psorah. right? In sequential order, not exactly the same time. So it's at least a possibility that the Rambam, in fact, held that these Mishnah Mefarish. Maybe. It's a possibility. The biggest problem with this, I'll now reveal the question of the Aruch HaShulchan that I kept inside for a while, because it's based upon our Gemara. This is a Gemara which also requires significant explanation. If we open the Gemara back in after the Zion of the Beis, the Gemara has a series of Toshmas. The first three Toshmas seem to indicate that there could be a woman who is considered to be a Nida, even though we seem to not have any Hargasha. And in each of three cases, the Gemara says, the Olam, the Argasha, really referring to simple Pshat in the Gemara, referring to a case where she actually did have a sensation. So if she had a sensation, so why is there some leniency expressed in the respective sources? We're not going into the details right now. And I will say that perhaps she made a mistake. Now before we had Amor the Argosha Valavadata, maybe she had a Argosha and she didn't realize it. Now we're saying the other way around. She was a Data, she did in fact experience what she considered to be a Hargosha, but she made a mistake in the other direction. She was too strict. Amor Argosha Valavadata, she was too lean, she didn't know about a Hargosha. Now it's saying she had a Hargosha, but what she thought was Hargosha's dam, but it was something else. What was it, something else? Three in a row. The first one, Hargosha's Meiraglayim. The second one is Hargosha's Aid. And the third one is, what is it more? Hargosha's Shamish. Shamish is the male organ. They're talking about the case of after Tashmish. So all of these three, she thought she experienced the Hargosha of dam. But we, the Chacham, are going to say maybe she made a mistake. Maybe it was a different kind of Argosha. It was Argosha of Meraglayim or Eid or Shamish. The Aruch HaShulchan. All this Gemara makes sense if we assume that the moment that the Dam comes out, that's when she has to have her Argosha. So again, the simple Pshat in the Shulchan Aruch. So there was this. So she presses down with a cloth internally on the vaginal wall, which is the way that a normal Eid Bedika is used. At that split second, there was Hargosha's dam, and it was also Hargosha's aid. She thought it was Hargosha's dam. She made a mistake. It was really an innocent Hargosha's aid, or it was an innocent Hargosha's Meraglayim, or an innocent Hargosha's Shamish. However, if you're going to tell me that the kind of Hargosha we're describing is what's called Evareha Kvedim Oleha, what we call the Vestas Haguf, that preceded by a long time. That happened before. That's Koden. So how can this confusion exist? Tremendous cash. The answer may be that Rambam will admit of two types of Argosha. I mean, it's really the same type, but it could have two different times. There could be a case of Nizdaza at the moment of Yetzias Adam. But the Rambam could also have Nizdaza which precedes Argosha Adam. There's no steer, not mutually exclusive. Whenever it is Daza Gufa, even at the moment of Yetzias Adam, or preceding it. If it's at the moment, it can be confused with Meraglayim, Eid, or Shamish. And if it happened early, it will not be confused. Okay. So that's not such a terrible thing. I mean, it is a little bit mashma, frankly, in the Lashon of the Rambam when he said, Targish Viatma. You know, the word, I picked the word Targish. So if I'm not as down on this Yesh Mefarshim in the Rambam as the Aruch HaShulchan. He thinks they're completely wrong. And I must say, the consensus of Poskim to this day is that this is the Halacha completely wrong. Not accepted. Vest Aguf, but we don't accept it as a Hargosha. I happen to be seeing the same called the Darkei Tara, Rav Moshe Elio Shalita. He also, he quotes the opinion, it's completely wrong. We don't accept the Halacha. That's the general consensus of Zman HaZeh. Not accepted, but I think it is an opinion. Achronim, for sure, Maram Shik, Tzemach Tzedek, Yesh Mishim Mefarish, Naruch HaShulchan, and maybe even Ramos away. The questions against them are not really compelling. Fine. Good. So again, If one assumes this to be Hargosha, so we've solved our problem of Hargosha Bizmanenu again, because women certainly do feel these kinds of feelings, even Bizman Hazeh. That's clear. However, as I said to you before, the consensus of modern day poskim is we do not accept this. It's a Vesta Guf, not considered to be in the category of a Hargosha. So now what are we left with? So the Aruch HaShulchan is a very big pashtun. In Hargosha Muvenus B'Pshitus, obvious what it is. It's clear. This is in Sif Samach in Kuf Pegim. The quote Tosfos Daf Dalet Amud Aleph. V'zeh Shashas Medamel Al Hargoshas Mei Raglayim. As we saw, she can confuse with Mei Raglayim. V'sheyesh Lo Ktsas Tzar. There's a middle. There's some tsar involved when the period begins. Who said so? So Hachi Arminim Reish Nida Dav Gimel Aman Aleph. Take a look. Rabbi Osai. We went as far back as that. We made reference to that base. Now see Dav Gimel. Dav Gimel Aman Aleph. The Gemara says, "Ulishamai Ha'ika Yeshena." Shamai says, "Kol Anoshim Dayan Shat." We have to go back in time. What about a woman who's asleep? So maybe. She said the period came earlier. I says no. Yishen onami agav tsara mitzara. If she has a period, she'll feel pain and wake up. Midi dahave hargosha smei raglayim. The same way as she would, when she experiences her hargosha smei raglayim, urination. So what does this gemara mean? What is a gemara? What do the words mean? It says the Aruch HaShulchan. Quoting this Gemara. What does that mean? What is this tzar? Be'eis psichas piyamokar. Kemo be'eis hatolas meiraglayim. Baruch Hashem, all the healthy males in this room know what it feels hatolas meiraglayim. Right? Yochol kol odom lahargish be'eis shaguf molay meiraglayim. Uvehechreach sheyeti luchutz. Yesh la'odem tzak tzak ka'akitza k'tana achemaske lo'otziyem lachutz dizdel v'pnei sha'amoko shemimenu yotzim zim ha'me raglayim piv sosu uvagiyaz manit yotzim niftach ha'moko. He's using the word moko rather a loose term. Umargish ha'odem gam b'shein oso. If a male wakes up, some men, they have a little slight incontinence, older men especially, and they, they have problems keeping themselves even dry sometimes. So some of the tzifchas v'shalom, the man has got to the point in his illness where he's just sometimes a little incontinent. He just can't. When it's going to come out, say he's in the middle of the night and he's even in his bed, he's going to feel something. Umargish adam gam b'shein aso vayadezeh yokitz mishnaso leilach lahashkin. Oh, Baruch Hashem, a healthy man, he feels about to come out. Ooh. Run to the bathroom. Quick, get there, quick. That's the hargosha that is described. Kemo kein mamish huriyas adam shashas medam azelazeh. So the Aruch HaShulchan works with an assumption, again, based on impeccable sources, that the hargosha dam of a woman is identical to the hargosha of raglayim that a man, in fact, does experience. That's Sif Samach. Sif Samach Aleph. One of the Gdolim asked Noshim Bekiyas, and they said some do feel, some don't feel, etc. Don't feel? Hevel Yivtze Pi HaNoshim O'Ele V'lo Yadi Maika Amri. They don't want to talk about these ladies. Raboseinu Nemonim Aleinu Yosem Mehen. We don't believe them. What? Are you calling them liars? No. The gamein and mishaklas with the ran. No. Ela she'ein and mevinos. They don't understand. Got a little science lesson over here. V'da. The chol dover mosora shebeguf. Shaguf tzorach l'tchosem. The body has to expel them. Hitbiya ha'kodesh baruch hu b'teva ha'guf. Shekshiyagi hazman d'chifosem l'chutz. Sheyiptuchu or nikvei apletash at koyustumim l'torach tchias hamosoros nispatchu v'yotzen l'chut k'mo yitzia l'gdolim v'l'ktanim v'tzoas achotem And the Shas compares one to the other. Zeo hechreach sheipotach hamokor. It has to be the Yevshah klal ba'ofan acher. Uvishas ha-psicha yesh ha-gosok v'ktas tzar. Asher mipnei shagaz zegaim yokitz mishnos v'kadiv rabo seinu. That's impossible otherwise. A person cannot go to the bathroom v'gdol ha-moktanim before something which was closed opens up. That we all understand, right? Everyone understands that. Something which was closed opened up. So too, for the dam, it has to be exactly the same way. That's what the Aruch HaShulchan says, and you feel tzar. Sama Beit. Ukumoshe ba'anoshim, im nishol lekama b'nei odom, eich targish ba'atcholas ha'atcholas meraglam. We'll do a survey. How do you feel? Imagine that we have the microphone. How do you feel ba'atcholas ha'atcholas meraglam? Hamatskil ha'mevin dovo yom ha'shem margash ha'niftach ha'mokom meraglam yotzim v'rovachlom. That's the mask. Umisha ain't a maven, lo yom arakshin margash miraglai maskil lotes. And it just comes out, nothing opened up. Come okay, I know Shemael, ain't a mavina zos. I will pshita to the kula and kenu. Okay, so some different nature, some more, some less, but it has to happen that way. Fine. Again, all this would make good sense, but there's only one problem. There's only one problem. Again, those darn facts keep getting in the way. Darn facts. What?
I don't know.
You have to ask the doctor. I don't know if they're not. I have a different cash. I have a very practical issue. And that is as follows. You know, the beginning of the Rizuri, as down of a woman, can come at any time of the day or night. As the Gemara has it, we just turned up Gim. So, based on what the Aruch HaShulchan said, if it happens in the middle of the night, what's going to happen? She'll wake up. That's the problem. The problem is that the women today, you know, they go to sleep clean, and they're expecting a period, they know it's going to come any hour now, but then I stay up there, stay awake. They go to sleep whenever they all go to sleep. They go 11 o'clock at night, at midnight, they go to sleep. Based on their past experience, they expect that the dam will come in 3-4 hours. It'll come, whenever it comes, it comes. So they'll very often put some kind of protection in case the period starts at 3 o'clock in the morning. Fine. Nope. Vahi ayo, they make up with them. The alarm rings at 7 o'clock. Wakes them up in the morning. The woman goes to the bathroom. All red. What's the problem? She didn't wake up. Now, is she lying that she didn't wake up? Her husband told her, "You woke up." I trust the rabbi saying more than I trust you. That will not be good for your shalom bayis. Don't ever say that. But seriously speaking, as far as I know, the women just don't wake up. They don't. They don't feel any tzar, they don't wake up, they just sleep right through, and they wake up with the alarm rings in the morning, and the period has begun in earnest, honest to goodness, 100%, none of the shayla, with all the shef adam, and they step right through it. He'll tell me, I'm an apokaris. I'm against the Gemara. The Gemara says, that the woman wake up, and I say no. What am I going to do? The women just don't wake up. There are a lot of married people that I don't recognize. If you think if you can go home tonight, and if your wife's in a good mood, you can ask her very gently that the Rebbe has to ask you a question. do you sleep through or do you wake up? And if she says I sleep through, I say okay, don't say another word. Okay, thank you. Just wanted to know. If anyone in this room will come back with a report and say, no, my wife, whenever she has a period, she always wakes up in the middle of the night. I'll be surprised, but somewhat chastened, because my polls have not yielded. Again, anything can happen once or twice, but on a regular basis, to my knowledge, it doesn't really happen. So we're forced into something which we don't like to say on a daily basis, but sometimes we have really a very little choice, which is, come on, you know what it is? Nishtanu atvoyim. And if the Gemara tells us that in those days when she had a period, she always woke up, And today she almost always does not wake up, but something changed. I don't think that's called apokrisis. The poskim say it in the here and there. You don't just say it arbitrarily, randomly, it's for no reason. I don't have a better way out of this dilemma, unless you do. I don't have a better way out. Yes?
Even if a woman has a riyasam in the morning, or she knows that it started at night, do we know that it is no different from up or during the night?
Again, the woman wakes up in the morning and she's just, whatever pretext she had is completely red. Obviously, it didn't happen in one split second. It's going to happen over a few hours.
The assumption is that it started.
Again, if we have some doctors here, they can tell me that I'm wrong. I'm always. You can do me the biggest favor. I'm giving you, for those who are going to stay through the shroom, I need to list, see what's happening for tomorrow. Mash, I should have stopped an hour ago already. I have to find out what I'm supposed to do here. But the most important thing you can do is tell me that I made a mistake. So I'm serious, because to tell me that I'm right, I don't need you to tell me I'm right. Yes, man, I don't need. I made a mistake in the fact. I interpreted some reason wrong. Whatever it is. I'm happy to, I'm very happy to be correct. Very happy to be correct. So please, don't hesitate to correct. Yes?
I mean, I don't know if this could be said, but perhaps one could say that if you wake up and you need to use the bathroom, there's a consequence if you don't get up and go, and so people respond to that, versus a woman could wake up, feel it, and say, oh, I'm wearing a pad, no big deal, and then go right back to sleep. And, like, I don't know, my wife tells me sometimes I wake up and I'll even say a sentence or two and I'll still be completely asleep and not realizing that I woke up and muttered a sentence and then went back. So I don't know if that's possible.
So that's all good. Very good. That maybe we have to do a survey. Unless we have to do it scientifically. If the woman wakes up or not, maybe we can, they have these things. They have the sleep disorder, people have that. To know when the person wakes up or not. So we can just, if you want to volunteer your wife, don't do it. Be part of this survey. Whether she wakes up in the middle of the night, if she has the period begin in the middle of the night, b'vakasha. So far, I think that there would probably be no waking up at an appreciable level. Okay. So now we're stuck. Yes, David.
So Aruch HaShulchan is relatively recent.
Yes, 100 years ago. A little more.
So, I'm assuming he had the same kasha that Willie had.
Well, I asked that question. I wanted to know whether the Rebbetzin Aruch HaShulchan, Rebbetzin Epstein, was himself a very great woman, I'm sure, whether in fact she woke up in the middle of the night or didn't wake up in the middle of the night. Now, we have no source to know what happened then. There's no written the record of that, to my knowledge. The Aruch HaShulchan may have been a big masri. He never slept in bed at night. I don't know. Maybe he just was up to old learn a bit medrash, and he doesn't know. Didn't know what his wife. What happened? I didn't ask him. Why should he ask? He's not going to leave her anyway. Yosef Mehen. Why should he bother? You want to watch his shteres shalom bayis? Why would you tell her that? Yes.
But isn't the line that she does the shamai? Even if the one does compare our Russia Sam to the Yemen of Zion, but it could be that the Tilal argues that together of Sahar.
Good question. That is a very good point. That is found in the Shitas Beis Shammai. Pashas, we don't find that Beis, we don't like the same Achlokas in the Metzius. I was taught, when I first came to the Yeshiva, my Rebbe was Rabban Soloveitchik, the Chatzalik Devracha, and he's the one who first hammered it on my head, of the Brisker line, there can't be a Achlokas in the Metzius. By them, they dissect. Can't be. So I don't want to say that my hill is far. I can challenge them and see it. Doesn't sound right. Yeah.
There's always a way to get out of machlokes and
mitzvahs. Machlokes and shiurim. That's all you're saying. But I remember like yesterday. It's a machlokes and the mitzvahs. No. It's a machlokes and the shiurim. Which means it's from 1 to 10. Everyone agrees the number is 4, but you need 3. You need 5. That's just a different way of getting around that problem as a general rule. Maybe. We'll have to justify. Anyway, but it's a good point. So what do we do? So the only way out of this mess that I think it's the correct way out of the mess, is to look in the Rashba. Those who have the Rashba, look inside. Those who don't, I'll read it to myself. On our daf, Nun Zayin Amud Beis, there are a number of important Rashbas. By the way, the Rashba comes very well annotated. In the most of our book edition, really, it's written by Harav David Metzger, who's he's put out a lot of Torah. He's, somewhat of an uneven level here. They put out so many different, we showed it with so many different people, but he's very good. He put out a lot of different things. Okay. Again, I don't. I never met him. I should reserve one day to visit. Hopefully, I'll be able to meet him. But he has very nice notes, and some of which are actually extraordinarily relevant to our discussions in these shiurim. One which we're going to be discussing, Yemit Hashem, at a later time, is also one of these notes. Can't find it right now, but let me get to what I'm discussing now. Later I'll tell you what else I have in mind. Here. The Gemara, we have to look at the Gemara first. This is an afternoon Zion and Beis. Very important piece of Gemara. Nun Zion and Beis. And with this we'll conclude this year, with this round, because I don't want to go overstay my welcome. Let's just go through this Rashba carefully. The Gemara is over here. Hai b'psar mi boile shemitama bifnim kibachutz. You mentioned this a little earlier today, that the woman is considered a nida d'orais as soon as the blood passes through the magic line, which is called bifnim, as opposed to bachutz when it's actually outside into the outside world. So we already used that pasuk for something else. The general principle is you cannot use one person to teach you two things. Answer the Gemara. Imkei leim lekra bibasar. Right? What? Bibasar? That would have been good enough. My bibsara. Shma min ha'ashatagish bibsara. So it's personalized. Bibsara. Bibsara. Okay. Frek the Gemara bakata yivorle. Bibsara. Velo bishfir. Velo bechaticha. As opposed to a woman who sees the dam in a shfir or in a chaticha, these are things which are cast. It relates to various possible miscarriages, things which are cast by the woman's body, and in that is seen blood that's not considered to be a proper hagasha. Answer the Gemara, strange answer. Tarti shma mino. We derive both. So the Rashba quotes is ready, Mori Arav. You can't derive two things from the same pasuk. We know that. Well, Shkulo saying the two drushes. V'tarvayo darshina lo midloksiv midloksiv what? Bivsara. Does say bivsara? Something I don't know how to get out of this one. Huh? Whatever it is, the same pasuk teaches us two things. V'yesh mefarshim. That they're literally identical. The below v'shvir ha'ina mishum the ein margeshes b'tziyas adam. That are the two different rushes from the same thing. No, when the blood goes out of the chaticha, we attribute the hargosh to the chaticha and not to the dam. Hikshem Ori Ravdal, the same Rabbi Yonah Yonah presumably. The svir olan darka shel ishal diros dam b'chaticha lo mitaharin mishum de'ein margeshes. Ooh. So the Ravzal said two things. One, he says, Shkulis, the din of Achatagish and the din of Shvir Bechaticha are equal and can both be derived from the same pasuk, which we don't understand why that's so. And then he says that we should not take the idea of Darka Shel Isha, the Rosh Dam Bechaticha, that's the normal thing. Lo Mitarin Mishum Enem Ageshes. Even though she doesn't feel the blood, she only feels the chaticha, that itself will not warrant to be metaira. We don't understand why not. What? Why not? The whole Mori Rav we don't understand. We like the Esh Mefarshim better. What's pshat? So the answer is given here in footnote 31. We explains as follows. Yes. Two questions. How do you derive two things from the same pasuk? And number two, when the Rabbeinu Yonah asked against the Esh Mefarshim, that if Darka Shel Isha Liros Dam B'Chatich, that's the norm, the Gemara has that expression back in that Chof Aleph Mud Beis, Rav Yochanan B'Shem Rashbi, Rashbi, right? So if that is correct, Lo mitar in mishum de'enim argashas. He would not make a tor, even though there is no argasha. She doesn't feel anything. What she feels is a chaticha, not a dam. I'm asking, why not? There's no argasha. What's Rabbi Yonah talking about? We don't understand the beginning, we don't understand the end. The answer to both is the same answer to both questions, which is, as he puts it over here in footnote 31, that the pshat over here is, he quotes from the Sefer Paradis Rimonim, which is you can get in the library. I don't have the Paradis Rimonim, but I'm looking for good sperm. I don't have the Paradis Rimonim. I know the library has it, so if someone wants to take it out, it'll be a good reference book. Mishum de'ein derech re'iyah b'kach. And that's what Rabbi Yonah means. The bezeh shneim shkulim de'ein derech re'iyah b'kach. Not stomach zeres akosu b'yalmi na'agosha. No. Because that's an example. Ne'she'ein derech re'iyah b'kach. This is the reason why without agosha she is not tmeah d'oraisa. Because ein derech re'iyah b'kach. We have often that the Torah describes things in a normal fashion. That's the normal period that a woman experiences. They said it's both kashas. School is saying, sure, chaticha is not normal. Right? And b'li agosha is not normal. Has to be a normal thing. A normal period. A normal period is not b'chaticha. A normal period is not without hargosha. So don't take the word hargosha literally. It's simply a code word. Hargosha is a code word which means normal. And if it was daka shalisha, there was daka b'chaticha, she will be asura midoraisa. That's normal. Says footnote 31. V'yesh lodun b'zeh b'zmanenu she'noshim einon margishas psichas hamokor i'ika nafkamina b'zeh b'en hanach b'es taimi v'ein kan makomo. Ein kan makomo, because he's writing a pair of footnotes on the Rashba. But yesh kan makomo. This is the answer to our question. The answer to our question is that if a woman experiences a normal period, well, however we define normal, she is a nida midoraisa. And even though the hargoshas we spoke about don't exist, there's no psichas piyamok, she doesn't feel that. And there's daza, she doesn't feel that. And chavaz das is ziva tablach bifnim, she doesn't feel that. And the chutz presumably won't count. She doesn't feel it. She doesn't wake up from it. So things have changed. But precisely because things have changed, the derech riyah has changed. And therefore, today, even though she doesn't wake up at night, still needed the rights. She doesn't feel psichos piyamoko, zizua evoreo, nothing, she still needed the rights. This yisod, which I first discovered in this footnote 31, which I'm grateful to the Mahadi of the Chiddush Rashba, Rabbi Simon Shlita showed me a bit later, is found in the Tshuvas of Rabbi Yoshev Shlita. In Kovitz Tshuvas, Chelek Alf. It's a Tshuva to Rabbi Welcher Shlita from Avos Yisrael in Kew Garden Hills. Anybody from that town? So, the Tshuvas to him. Chashivas. When he was a young man, he was a chim with Rabbi Yoshev. So he wrote him a letter, he wrote him back a letter. If you write him a letter, he might write you back. But, in which he says, he quotes it but from an earlier source. He quotes it from the Tzofnas Paneach on the Rambam. Yeah, the Rogachov. The Tzofnas Paneach on the Rambam is going on the following din, which is found again in Masechta Nida. It's an interesting discussion in the Masechta Nida. We're not going to go into it at any length right now, but we do know that the concept of Nida begins at a very young age. Yes, we know that normally a woman doesn't start seeing a dam until she's about 12 years old. However, there exists the concept of a Gemara daf lamed beis amnav. Tinok es pas yomecha lenida minayin. Tama loma v'isha. Right, so daf lamed beis amad aleph towards the bottom near this small hay of the Rambam, and in fact it is quoted in the Rambam as well. This din. Okay, find it. Hilchos Yisurabia, Perek Dale Halacha Aleph, Habas Mitame Benida, Afilu Biyom Leidosa. Woo! Biyom Leidosa, my nafkamina. So the Magad Mishnah explains, she saw Dam Biyom Leidosa. And the bia will take place when she's older, when she's 3 years old or more. But she went to go to the mikveh. She's betumah d'oraisa kores as a Magad Mishnah. Pasha Pshat and the Rambam. In fact, the tzofnas paneach. Which of the hagoshes is over here? Psichas pi amokor, mizdaza. So one of my rabbinical colleague said, of course it's Hargosha. Whatever that Hargosha will be, call it Psichos Piyamaka, call it Zazah. She felt it too. She's just not verbal yet. At age one day, she just can't express it to us. But she really, in fact, does feel it. Very difficult to believe, because according to my medical journals, I asked my neonatologist to get me, he only got me a copy of one sheet from Germany somewhere. Maybe you can get me some other ones. I appreciate it. It said that they is it still exists in 6% of girls. That's what it said in that piece of paper. And a teeny, a very small drop of blood coming from hormonal imbalances. It's hormonal blood. Yeah. Whatever. So it's too small to have any. The amount is too small. It's a drop. That's not going to have any real. The answer is, and here's another tricky definition. For this woman, the one-day-old women constitute a class unto themselves. And therefore, for her, this little drop is considered to be derech riyasa, and therefore she's a needed d'oraisa. Rav Yashiv has a somewhat different phrase, how to explain it, a little bit different, but I said I would stop. Maybe tomorrow, again, 12 o'clock, I look at the consensus view as it seems to be a good time. All right? I mean, can't make everybody happy. A lot of them want for 11:30, the ones want for 9. Seems the majority wants the 12, right? I'm just reading off the sheet. So tomorrow goes to 12. We can end by 1:30. So we can daven mincha. Those are the ones that have mincha, right? It's already zman mincha. Who has a 1:28? I should have stopped already. I'm sorry for going to take extra 2 minutes. For those who want to stay, don't have to. And believe that again tomorrow at 12 o'clock. But Wednesday will be a little bit earlier because they have to be downtown. Okay? Good.